Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, the Gerald R. Ford Foundation welcomes Heath Lee and her talk From Poise to Purpose, Pat Nixon, Betty Ford, and the Changing Role of the First Lady. Local author Kirsten Pipp joins in to talk about her new book, Perfectly Rare. Found Street Church welcomes its Oratorio Choir plus the Oratorio Chamber Orchestra this Saturday. Pigeon Creek Shakespeare Company presents Playhouse Creatures opening May 1. And Treetops Resort says come on up, and we talk about golf, grilling, and more.
It's an evening with Heath Lee, author of The Mysterious Mrs. Nixon, and more. She's going to share also From Poise to Purpose, Pat Nixon, Betty Ford, and the Changing Role of First Lady. And you bet Heath is in studio. Good morning to you, Heath.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
To your left, in front of me, there is that Gleaves Whitney, president of our Ford Foundation, Gleaves Executive Director, however you'd like to term yourself, because you're good. Good morning to you, Gleaves.
Oh, good morning.
Yes, and you'll be speaking, I see, on April 28th, so stand by. Great times we have. Welcome to West Michigan, Heath Lee.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed being here and seeing that wonderful sculpture park yesterday.
Yes, we have much to offer. Gleaves, set us up for this evening, and Heath Lee, please.
Well, really excited to bring Heath to Grand Rapids, to the Ford. She writes some wonderful biographies and is very insightful. She's going to tell us a lot about two people that American folks don't know much about, and I think that's Betty Ford and Pat Nixon, because both were, I think the way you put it, they're either the most private-public people or the most public-private people you can imagine. These first ladies, of course, don't have a constitutional role. They don't have an official role historically. So it takes, I think, some real gumption to go in and see all of the functions, all the great things that the first ladies have done. And no one does it better than Heath Lee to figure out where they fit in American history. And so we're really excited, 6:30 tonight at the Ford, to have Heath speak about Pat Nixon and Betty Ford and the relationship between these two remarkable women.
Yes. Yeah, we're proud of our Betty Ford, as you know.
Oh, you should be.
Well, but Heath, you come from a museum education, curatorial background, and you've, of course, worked at history museums across the country. When did you find interest in First Ladies?
Well, you know, it was funny. I never really set out to write a First Lady book, because what I do is it's all women's history, and it's kind of hidden stories, things you don't know. Pat Nixon is a hidden figure in American history. That's the title of my book, The Mysterious Mrs. Nixon. She was seen as very mysterious by Americans, but after I spent 4 years with her, she really wasn't mysterious at all.
Wow. Well, hence, read the book.
Yes,
and
read
find
the
out
book.
More. Take me to your Betty Ford research.
Yes, I have had a ball researching Betty Ford and Pat Nixon and their relationship, which I had worked on during the book, The Mysterious Mrs. Nixon, of course, but I really went more in depth for this talk. I think most people think that, you know, Pat Nixon is very private, Betty is more public, and this is true. But what I found is these two first ladies have much more in common than not. And I'll be talking about that today. Just as a teaser, a little first lady trivia, both Pat and Betty allowed their children to have alligators as pets.
Well, I'm glad that we're talking, because I've learned something. Well, and yet that is oftentimes what we're interested in, some of the backstory.
Well, the human elements, yes. The aspect of, you know, pets and children, this is kind of what maybe sucks you in to then learn about the more important history, the diplomatic finesse that both of these women had. And Pat Nixon really sets that up. She was the most traveled first lady until Hillary Clinton went to China, as Betty would after her. She really sets the stage, I think, for Betty Ford in terms of diplomacy, which they are both so good at, and also women's rights. And that is where you see Pat is the behind the scenes teeing up things like the ERA, the reproductive rights, things like that, talking about that as First Lady, but being a little bit more in the background. And then Betty Ford, with her personality, which is so extroverted, she takes that ball and runs with it and really pursues things like the ERA very hard. So they're very complementary first ladies, and I see it as a continuum.
Nice. Slaves Whitney, what do you add to this?
Well, I just think it's fascinating to explore this topic because they are pioneering in their own way. They're courageous. One of the things that we focus on a lot at the Ford are the virtues of the presidents and first ladies. Let's never forget that interior strength of character that so many of them possess. And Heath does such a good job of bringing out the virtues, the inner strengths of the first ladies. And so that's a delight. And you to do that, you have to see, you have to dig into the trials that they went through. I mean, it's not just a given that, you know, you can just say, oh, they're courageous, you know, just because that's what we expect of first ladies and presidents. But you have to instantiate that character in the actual trials that they went through. And gosh, did both of these women go through a lot of trials.
Heath, from Poise to Purpose, Pat Nixon, Betty Ford, and the changing role of first lady. Expand on to that latter.
Sure. So definitely there is, as I said earlier, a continuum where first ladies, you know, they move things sometimes incrementally towards today. And I think Pat and Betty are a great example of that. The women's rights. So Pat, behind the scenes, I'll talk tonight, does so much for women. Then Betty brings it, takes that ball and runs with it, moves it forward. Same with the diplomatic. This going out, you know, that role was not common in earlier days, except for Eleanor Roosevelt, of the first lady and diplomatic service, like being an ambassador, a global ambassador, which Pat Nixon was the first global ambassador as first lady. And then Betty Ford does so much with that too in China and all over the world. So these roles, even today, of course, it's evolving all the time and different first ladies have different signature styles. But I think Pat and Betty are a great case study in the continuum of first ladies and how things continue to develop.
Tell us about your work, The League of Wives.
Yes, The League of Wives. Gleaves and I were just talking about that as he has a big interest in Vietnam. So that that book has actually been optioned. It's being developed for a television series. And it is about the courageous wives of American POWs and MIAs, so American servicemen who are missing or prisoners of war in Vietnam. And these women, this is the 60s, they're traditional conservative military wives. And the Johnson government tells them to keep quiet, to say nothing about what is going on for their husbands for years. So finally, these women, led by Sybil Stockdale from the West Coast, a Navy, senior Navy wife, they say enough of that. And they go public, they go to the media. And through many trials and tribulations over 8 or so years, they finally are able to be a big part of bringing 591 POWs home. So the book has been an amazing, I think, safe to say, has been quite a success. We just dedicated the first monument to military wives in the country last summer in Coronado, California. There's a League of Wives statue there, which I was very proud to be the historian for that effort. So, yeah, military wives do not get enough credit. They are the backbone.
Thank you for that. Back to tonight, Gleaves. How will it work? We'll hear from Heath. Will you jump up there and ask a few questions?
Well, I don't think I have to ask anything at all. I think all I have to do is introduce her and let her go because she's so knowledgeable and she brings such sensitivity and depth. Historical work requires, it's often lonely work, but to be able to then to connect with audiences later, and Heath does this so well. She comes highly recommended. We can't wait. This is her her opening night at the Ford, 6:30 tonight. We are really, really happy to have her in Grand Rapids. We're expecting a good crowd, so you better RSVP if you've not done so yet.
Yes, and that's to the Ford Foundation website.
Yes, that's right.
That will
that's
get
right.
us there, you bet. Because it is an evening with Heath Lee, author of The Mysterious Mrs. Nixon and more, talking from Poise to Purpose, Pat Nixon, Betty Ford, and the changing role of First Lady. How do we find out more about you, Heath?
Well, I have a website, www.heathleeauthor.com. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can find me anywhere. You can find all my books, really anywhere. Books are sold.
Fine books are sold. Heath, thank you. Enjoy your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Local author Kirsten Pip in the house. Her work is out, perfectly rare. It's a children's book about celebrating differences. We discuss this, her podcast debut, and more. Kirsten, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Want to get this out of the way? See you tonight at the Brilliance Awards?
Yes, I'm so excited for tonight and celebrating all of the amazing women in West Michigan.
Yes, you up for finalist in the category of social change agent. So we'll ask about why your qualifications. How's that? Get right into it.
Sounds great.
We're going to spend time with Perfectly Rare is even better. All right. First of all, talk to me a little bit about you, Kirsten, and a bit of your journey.
Yes, of course. I can talk about my journey as it relates to the Brilliance Awards. So in 2022, I had an ectopic pregnancy, and I searched for support during that traumatic experience, and I couldn't find the support that I needed. And so I created it. I started an Instagram and Facebook community called Ectopic Pregnancy Support. And what I do there is to spread awareness and education on what ectopic pregnancy is, and truly just be there to support other women going through the experience.
What is an ectopic pregnancy, please?
An ectopic pregnancy is when a gestational sac is placed outside of your uterus. So a lot of times it's the most common place for it to implant is in your tubes, which essentially it's not a viable pregnancy. And as it grows, it can rupture and be life-threatening.
Yes, had my dear cousin that happened to, and life has certainly been fine,
yes,
as they say.
It's much more common than we think. It's just not talked about.
Yes. What correlates this with Perfectly Rare?
Yes. So ectopic pregnancy is one space where I advocate. And then the second area that I advocate is rare disease. My son, my rainbow baby, following my ectopic pregnancy, he was unexpectedly born with a rare disease. And that was a whirlwind for my husband and I. While we loved him so much and he was so perfect in any way possible, that first year, and he's our first child, so navigating a first-time parent and then a child with medical complexities was fearful, overwhelming, and very isolating, to be honest. So, you know, that first year was very hard. We focused specifically on him. And throughout that time, I was trying to figure out ways where I can turn my pain into purpose. Mm-hmm. And one of those ways was to write a children's book. I have many different inclusive children's books amidst all the other popular ones, but I wanted one that I could read to my son and highlight that differences are normal and they should be celebrated. And on the cover, you'll see that is a little illustration of my son. Yes,
he's a little blondie.
Yes, he's a little blonde boy, and he's 2 years old now. But at 5 months old, he received his first pair of glasses. He has some visual differences, but also invisible differences as well. But his glasses are just so perfect for him and his personality. And so Perfectly Rare was written, inspired by him and for families that are on a rare disease journey. And it's really written to spark conversations and showcase love. So Perfectly Rare is one way that I have been voluntarily advocating for the community. And there are a couple other pieces, too, that I can share as well.
Let me reintroduce you, as listeners say, who is Shelley talking to? I like her. Kirsten Pip with us. Work is out, Perfectly Rare, children's book about celebrating differences. Do you still have the Ectopic Pregnancy podcast?
I do. Yes. Oh, I didn't even get into that when sharing about my ectopic pregnancy story. Last year, I decided to take the community one step further to start a podcast, Ectopic Pregnancy Support, to interview other women who've experienced an ectopic pregnancy or multiple or pregnancy loss in general, to not only allow them a space to talk about their story, but to bring comfort to other women listening.
You were going to expand, if you could.
Yes, expanding on the rare disease advocacy work. I had mentioned previously that my son received glasses at 5 months old, and when my husband and I found out that he would need glasses right away and for his entire life, it was scary because we never pictured that to be our future. And so at the end of that first year that we had him, so 2024, I sewed little doll glasses on 100 bears and donated them to Roy's ophthalmology department at Helen DeVos Children's Hospital. And then we did that again in 2025. So we've donated 200 bears so far so that his ophthalmologist can gift them to kids receiving glasses for the first time in hopes that it makes the journey a little bit better for the family and brings a smile to their face.
I think there's even a day attributed to rare disease. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Rare Disease Day falls at the end of February every year. There's a great Rare Disease Day event that Helen DeVos Children's Hospital partners with every year. And that was, this past year was the first year that I promoted my third and final piece of work that I've been doing in the rare disease space, which is Rarely Alone. I partnered with my son's geneticist at Helen DeVos Children's Hospital. Her name's Dr. Jessie Priestley. We partnered together at the end of 2024 to develop a rare disease parent-to-parent support program at Corewell Health. So what we do there is we match volunteer parents who have been on the rare disease journey with new parents who find themselves in the fear, the isolation, the overwhelm, to help bring comfort, because I experienced it firsthand. I know there was a need because there wasn't a program like that at Corewell Health. And Rare Disease Day at the end of February was the first event that we had a booth, promoted it, and the response has been amazing.
Yes. Well, many silver linings, especially, what's your little boy's name?
Roy.
Roy, with Roy's wonderful journey. And brothers and sisters?
No brothers or sisters.
Okay. All right. Animals in the house?
We have a dog named Owen.
That's where
and,
I was going.
And Roy is obsessed with him right now.
As he will be through life. How do we find out more about your work, Perfectly Rare and more?
Perfectly Rare can be found on Amazon. I can share a link with you. And then Rarely Alone, you can email us at rarelyalone@corewellhealth.org. And then as far as ectopic pregnancy support goes, that is the Instagram and Facebook handle. And if you search that on anywhere you listen to your podcast, it'll pop up.
Much going on in your life. Thank you for sharing. See you tonight for the West Michigan Woman Brilliance Awards. Kudos to you as finalist for Social Change Agent. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you, Shelley.
You bet.
Thank you so much.
For Saturday night, 7 p.m., head to the beautiful Fountain Street Church, where you will hear the beautiful talents, not only of voices, but instruments, and, well, only get the best conductor, Dr. Emmanuel De Leon, on the line when it comes to the discussion of finding light in the darkness. Dr. De Leon, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me again.
Yes, we have spoken before. We'll speak again, but we speak now because Saturday night, a not-to-be-missed event. All right, we have the voices from a choir, the instruments from an orchestra. Set us up to our conversation.
Yes, so This coming Saturday, we'll have our annual memorial concert, and this is special because this is the 39th edition of this annual memorial concert at Fountain Street Church. Well, going back a little bit of history, it was it started in 1987 under Dr. Beverly Howerton, and we are continuing this tradition of, you know, bringing beautiful music, moving music to the community. And not just that, as time went by, we were able to bring other musicians, performers at Fountain Street Church. So it's, I would say it's community building at the same time. So diving into the repertoire that we will do, we will be performing Serenade to Music by Ralph Vaughan Williams, which we will feature our soloist Catherine Gispert, Isabel Abbott, Jake Herrera, Cole Weissman, Claire Schweitzer, and Zachary Boykert. And then our organist, Noah Smith, as well as Elise Smith, will be accompanying us, and of course with our chamber orchestra coming from different groups here in Grand Rapids, the Grand Rapids Symphony. In fact, we also have a cellist coming from Interlochen. So
nice. Very cool. This is dubbed, obviously, Finding Light in the Darkness. It's a memorial concert, and I see you even asked for donations in the memory of a loved one.
Yes. So at some sort, this also is a fundraiser, so we can continue bringing in concerts like this. So it's free of admission, but donations are very much welcome. The suggested donation is between $20, $25, but whatever is comfortable with the audience contributing, it will be greatly appreciated.
7 o'clock, Fountain Street Church. Tell me a little bit more about the choir. These are talents from Fountain Street?
Yes, very good. So most of the singers are from the adult choir of Fountain Street Church. So this is an intergenerational choir, which means we have ages from about 22 up to even 80 plus. So imagine that thing. And then one third of the singers, 50 singers, one third of it came from different groups around West Michigan. That is the Grand Rapids Women's Chorus. We also have singers coming from Men and Boys Choir, Grand Rapids Men and Boys Choir, as well as individual singers who found interest and then participated in or participating in this memorial concert. So,
and again, the orchestra, how wonderful to have the talents of the Grand Rapids Symphony and more.
Oh, yes. So we have them. We will have a string orchestra plus percussion. And not to forget, we will also have the great Todd Wilkie as our collaborating pianist.
Let's talk a little bit about you and your journey thus far, Dr. Emmanuel De Leon.
Yeah, well, thank you. So this is my second year working at Fountain Street Church, a full-time choral director. So my background, I finished my doctoral studies from University of Notre Dame. And then 2 years ago in 2024, I came here and then started working. And I would really share how wonderful this community is. And it's, I would share that this is really keeping me sane amidst all of these, you know, happening all over us. So having this type of community brings me more inspiration to come up with ideas of putting in or curating programs such as, you know, hope of having peace, especially nowadays. So that's one of the messages that we want here. Peace all over, and then, you know, just working together and continuing being humans.
And, of course, remembering loved ones lost and living life through them, finding light in the darkness. Dr. Emmanuel De Leon, on behalf of Fountain Street Church, final information, please, if you would.
Thank you. So, again, this coming Saturday, we would like to invite you to watch our concert 39th edition of the annual memorial concert of the oratorio choir at Fountain City Church. It will be at 7 in the evening. If you have more time, we actually have a concert pre-talk, which will start at 6:30 up to 6:45, leading to the concert. So in this concert pre-talk, Professor Gary Eberly and I will be discussing about the repertoire. And of course, we are open to questions about their curiosity about anything that anything about the concert, especially, again, the repertoire that we will be doing, because we will also performing large works by Elaine Hagenberg, Jake Runstad, and a world premiere of a piece composed by a Filipino composer. And it's the first time, again, world premiere of a new work. So,
very nice. All right. Well, save the energy. Most likely a rehearsal or two just before, but I would think a best night's sleep, a good night's sleep the night before, important. All right, Dr. De Leon, enjoy your time this Saturday night.
Shall we? Okay. Good night.
Ideal opening night, May 1st. Playhouse Creatures will play on behalf of the Pigeon Creek Shakespeare Company. Talking to you, Catherine Mayberry. You'll be producing, and we'll see you in the show. Always a pleasure. Glad that you're here.
Thank you for having us.
Kathleen Bode, you playing Doll and More. Stand by. Good morning to you, Kathleen.
Good morning.
All right. Hey, we've talked before, as I often say. We'll talk again. Pigeon Creek Shakespeare Company. It's probably been some 20 years since we've talked, Catherine Mayberry.
Yeah, we started the company when Kate and I were both undergrad students at Grand Valley. So it's been going for a while.
We'll call you Kate.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. No, yes. Yeah. Her professional name is Kathleen.
That's right. Yeah. Well, be careful what you wish for, because you're strong in our community, and now you're all over the map. Do you do just Shakespeare?
We do Shakespeare. We sometimes do other plays from Shakespeare's time period. And then, like this production that we're doing right now, we also do modern plays that are Shakespeare connected. So Playhouse Creatures, which is by the playwright April DeAngelis, is about the first women professional actors in England. So in Shakespeare's own lifetime, the acting companies were all men. So the original people who played those famous female roles in Shakespeare were actually boy actors. But in the 1660s, the king decreed that women should play those women's roles on the stage. And so the historical figures that Playhouse Creatures depicts are the first women actors to do many of Shakespeare's famous roles.
Yes. Kathleen, we'll call you Kate. How'd you get involved in Pigeon Creek, as we mentioned, from the beginning?
Yeah, I got involved with Pigeon Creek actually through Catherine. I met Catherine at Grand Valley, and I came into Pigeon Creek the second year that it existed, and started doing shows when we were performing out at Pigeon Creek County Park, and have been with the company ever since.
Great. Playhouse Creatures. So you do open May 1st and 2nd in Muskegon.
Yes, we will be at the stage at the corner in Muskegon, which is a pretty new venue. Beautiful, beautiful space in a building that used to be a church. And they are doing a fantastic job of making that sort of an arts and entertainment hub in Muskegon. So this is our second time performing at the stage at the corner. We're really excited about it.
Great. Kate, you play Doll, one of the, I'm sure, women actors. Tell us about your role.
So my role in the play is actually a little bit different. Doll Common is not necessarily based on a specific historical figure the way that the other characters in the play are. Doll is a little bit more the human embodiment of the theater itself and the space itself.
Yes, yes. And is there a Shakespearean accent, for lack of better terms here, that you present?
No, there is not.
Are your actors in this setting?
No, we are not doing any kind of British accents, and we never do when we do Shakespeare either. The reason being that that the current, like, modern British accent is not really what people would have sounded like in Shakespeare's England anyway. So we would rather our actors speak in their own voices and be emotionally connected to what they're saying than try to maintain an accent as well as all the other things they're thinking about when they're acting.
Catherine, you producing, but you are also on stage. Who's your character?
My character is Mrs. Betterton, and she was, in fact, a historical actor. She and her husband were the managers of a theater company, which sounds a little bit familiar to me. They were the managers of what was called the King's Company, which was the King Charles II was their patron. They were one of the most famous companies in England in the 1660s and 1670s. And she, as far as we can tell from the historical records, was the first woman actor to play Shakespeare's Lady Macbeth on stage.
Very nice. So you open Staying With You, Catherine, May 1, 2 at the stage at the corner in downtown Muskegon. Then where do you go?
Then we are off to Jonesville. We're going to the Sauk Theater there. We have one visit to the Sauk every year, and it's a beautiful historic theater in the downtown of Jonesville. Like there are some of those little theaters kind of littered all over Michigan. We love to find them. So the Sauk is one of our homes away from home. And then we will be back in Grand Rapids May 22nd through the 24th at Dog Story Theater at their new location on State Street.
Which I understand is very small.
It is. It holds about 45 people. So if you are wanting to see the show at Dog Story, you should get your tickets right away.
And then I turn to you, Kate. How important does a setting matter, a smaller setting of 50 people versus 150 people with what you do?
Well, because of how we use direct audience contact, it's a little bit more of an intimate setting is a nice way to connect to everyone in the theater. But we love those big venues too. It gives us the opportunity to spread that energy far and wide across the space and really have a wonderful experience that, you know, one time only experience with an audience.
Who is directing, Kate?
So our director is Christina McCloskey. And she has worked with us in a couple of different capacities in the past. So we're really excited to have her back.
Yes. And, Catherine, seems like you're usually the director. Are you doing many roles at this point? You still need to get you on stage.
So I do frequently direct, but we also have a number of directors who have become regulars for us. We're always looking for people who have experience directing Shakespeare because our actors are quite knowledgeable about Shakespeare's language, and we want directors who sort of speak the same shorthand about Shakespeare that our actors do. But we have a number of really wonderful qualified directors who work with us regularly. And Christina, when she's not directing with us, is actually the artistic director of the Muskegon Civic Theater. So people may know her work from Muskegon Civic as well.
Nice. What happens after, this run of Playhouse Creatures comes and goes?
We have a couple of summer productions coming up. We have a short adaptation, an hour-long adaptation of The Two Gentlemen of Verona, which we'll be playing at various parks across West Michigan. And then later in the summer, we have a production of Shakespeare's Pericles, which is not very often done. So if you are looking for a chance to see an infrequently performed Shakespeare play, that's a great one. It's an adventure story. It's an epic quest kind of story. And that will be directed by David Little, who is an acting professor from Ball State University.
How can one, Catherine, get involved with Pigeon Creek Shakespeare Company?
We have open auditions for many of our shows. There will be an audition coming up for our two summer productions, so look for information for that on our website, which is pcshakespeare.com. We'll be announcing what you need to do for those auditions pretty shortly, and we're starting rehearsals for the first one of those shows in June. And of course, if you're looking for tickets, pcshakespeare.com is also the place to go. Right on our front page, there's a button that says Get Tickets for Upcoming Performances. You can click right on that, and the information for all of our venues will be there for you.
Kate, talk a little bit about how, if we've been talking for almost 20-some years, how has the company grown?
Well, the company has grown in a lot of ways. We started out doing just one show a year in the summer in the parks, and now we have expanded to being able to do year-round performances. We have expanded to being a touring company that performs at multiple venues, and we have developed educational programming. We have developed all sorts of outreach for our community in connection with Grand Valley and with other theaters in the area. So it's been really wonderful.
Yes. Why come see the show? Kathleen, we'll call you Kate Bode. Mm-hmm. Why come see the show?
I think it's really important for people to come see this show because it offers a really unique perspective about some of the issues that women faced when they first were starting to perform on the professional stage. But it also is a reminder of the things that we as women still face in modern situations.
Details one more time, Catherine, regarding the up and coming opening of Playhouse Creatures, please.
Yes, so Playhouse Creatures by April DeAngelis will play at the Stage at the Corner May 1 and 2, at the Sauk in Jonesville on May 16th as part of a whole Shakespeare-themed weekend that they are presenting, and then at the Dog Story Theater in Grand Rapids May 22nd through the 24th, and tickets for all of those venues can be found at pcshakespeare.com.
We've done this before. Thank you. All Catherine Mayberry and Kathleen Bode, take care to you on behalf of the Pigeon Creek Shakespeare Company.
Thank you very much.
Have you been to Michigan's most spectacular resort? Did you know Golf Ready is the conversation we are to have? Plus, how about a little grilling? Neri Owens in the house on behalf of Treetops Resort. We've talked before. We'll talk again. I've said that a lot today because you do meet the mission of WGVU, informing, entertaining, and, of course, educating. Oh, is it time to play golf in Garland, Michigan, Barry Owens?
It is time to play golf here up at Treetops. We can't wait for it.
Nice. Give me your Treetops 101, please.
Located in Gaylord, right off of I-75, five golf courses designed by some of the greats, Robert Trent Jones Sr., Tom Fazio, Rick Smith, and all the accommodations of resort that has to offer for overnight stays, entertainment, a spa on property, restaurants, convention facility. But most importantly, May 1st, golf starts, and then we get into the world-famous Grill on the Hill competition.
Yes, yes, I think your eighth annual. Looking forward to this. And let's just bring in Bobby T. Trudnack, but I like Bobby T. World champion, pitmaster. That's you, Bobby. Good morning.
Hey, Shelly, how are you?
Doing fine. Do you smell grilling? Are you grilling something? It's 5 o'clock somewhere as we speak?
Oh, always. I always got the coals lit. I always have something on the grill.
Wonderful. Let's ask about you if we could. I've never known there could be a world championship for pitmasting.
Well, I mean, barbecue is huge all across the world. And I've been competing in barbecue competitions since 2003. I've been all over the U.S., Europe, Middle East, you name it, Korea. And, you know, barbecue is just something that brings people together, and the competitive barbecue aspect is so much fun. It's so exciting. And to be able to walk the stage anywhere you are, it's just, you consider it special every time.
All right, let's let you, Barry, brag a little bit about Bobby T and what is happening with your collaboration at Treetops Resort.
Yeah, it's exciting. Bobby and I met last spring at an event, believe it or not, in the UP of Michigan, where he was doing a barbecue class that I was excited and honored to take there. And he's just taken this event to another level. His credibility, his background, he'll be there for people to talk to. He'll do some demonstration grilling at the actual event. He'll be cooking some food there and showing us all how it's done. We're excited, too, and he can expound on it, but just he just has some exciting news with a new partnership with the Food Network, so he can explain more on that, too.
That is, well, where we're going to go. Expand on that, Bobby T.
Well, I can only say a little bit about it, but I can say that I will be on Season 7 of Barbecue Brawl on Food Network, and the premiere is May 11th, which is a Monday at 9 p.m., and it's going to be an awesome season, and I'm so blessed to be a part of it.
Barry, this is all happening Saturday, May 2nd at Treetops Resort, this Pitmaster opportunity?
It does. The Grill on the Hill actually starts Friday evening with an event we call Lighting of the Grills. It's a chance for people to, there's VIP tickets you can get into that and the day of Saturday, and a chance to mingle with the teams. Bobby T will also be there mingling with people and stuff, and it's a real neat, intimate setting because everybody starts grilling at least 12 hours in advance, some more than that, to get ready for the event on Saturday.
Yes, and eighth annual to boot. And I trust one could play a little golf on the side.
Yeah, we open the day with the We're Open on Saturday. It's 144 players. It's an annual event that's been going on. So everybody that's playing in that golf tournament gets admission to come to the day and sample all the different meets and listen to the band and take part in the beer tent and get to hear Bobby T preach the words of barbecue.
All right. What is a word of barbecue we must know to tease us, Bobby T?
Listen, it's just about friends and family and gathering, you know, lighting fires, seasoning meats, and just making happy memories with people. That's what it's all about.
That's cool. Where does one start when we want to learn how to grill?
Well, I mean, there's classes. A lot of different pit masters teach classes around country. You can come to my website, bobtrudnackbbq.com, and I got a, you know, schedule full of classes there. Get out and go to barbecue festivals, meet people who are competing, and ask a couple questions here and there, and that'll get you started on your path.
Wonderful. Again, Treetops Resort pairing up with a grilling opportunity on this second day of May. Goodness gracious, Bobby T, world champion pitmaster, of course, founder of you on your brand and Bobby T's Barbecue and Gourmet Foods. Can we purchase that somewhere, Bobby T?
Well, again, yeah, you can purchase it. It's coming up on in Fleet Farms across the Midwest. I'm going to be in all the Fleet Farms. And you can get it at some Ace Hardwares, and you can obviously go to my website, bobtrudnackbbq.com, and you can order it up right there and get it delivered to your house.
Trudnack, thank you. And again, Barry Owens, General Manager, Treetops Resort, a wonderful, most spectacular resort, golf-ready, unlimited golf returns, new, what, first-off club?
Yeah, that's a new thing this year. We've expanded our tee times, and we're starting them earlier in the morning. So for people that want to be the first one out and enjoy that special time of early in the morning, you can lead the charge there and play as quick as you want to.
That's as early as 6:30 a.m.
It is. Right? It's a special time, too.
It's going to be wonderful. And, I mean, stay, play, and unwind. Happy hours are all over the place, and certainly.
Yeah, Shelley, and I really wanted to add, too, that this event doesn't happen without the support of the Gaylord Area Tourism Bureau. There are lead sponsor, the presenting sponsor for this event. So it's we're fortunate to be in the town of Gaylord and have that great partnership.
I've visited several times, and of course, Paul and his team at Gaylord Tourism Bureau couldn't do it without a hop and a skip away from our area. Bobby T, what do you end us with? What's for lunch today in your world?
For lunch today, I don't know. Listen, I'm in Jersey right now fishing, so I'm going to probably have a pork roll, egg, and cheese. And you may not know what that is, but look it up on the internet. It's a fantastic sandwich.
Okay, homework, as they say. Bobby T, thank you. We'll see you May 2nd, obviously, for that opportunity to head to Treetops Resort and do a little grilling with you, this Grill on the Hill, number 8. Take care to you. Barry Owens, first of all, thank you. You and Grand Bay Promotions, a supporter of the Shelley Irwin Fun Run, thank you for that. So next year you'll come and run hop skip. Wait, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm running Saturday.
You are?
I am.
Okay,
I don't want this. Well, it's too late, isn't it?
It is too late. Yes, now you will be. Well, I wish I had a prize for you because it's a fun run, so everybody's number one.
My prize will be just crossing that finish line.
I think you're going to have a darn good time, as they say. Yes. But thank you for this. Goodness gracious. More information about golfing and hopping and skipping up in at Treetops Resort, please.
Yeah, you can give us a call at 888-TREETOPS, or you can go to the website, treetops.com, TREETOPS.com.
Nice. Oh, now I'm even more excited than I was. All right, thank you again. Again, the good work that you do, Bobby T, and, of course, you, Barry. You take care.
Thank you.
Your inspiration for the day, that would be according to Lao Tzu, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Oh, that's appropriate. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin.